Welcome to the August 2019 edition of Green Journal Editor's Picks, a monthly conversation with Editor-in-Chief Dr. Nancy Cheshire about current issues and topics in the current issue of the Obstetrics and Gynecology, or the Green Journal. Welcome, Dr. Cheshire.
Hello, Dr. Fisher. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really good. We're going to look at the association between first trimester subchorionic hematomas and pregnancy loss in singleton pregnancies. This was by a medical student, Mackenzie Narrett, at Icahn School of Medicine in New York, New York. And she was mentored by our very own Nathan Fox, who authors the OB Journal Clubs every month for the journal.
And just so people know, conflict of interest issues, he had no influence in whether this paper got accepted, and certainly didn't know we were going to do this as an editor's pick.
Nope, he did not. Well, our last paper today looks at the association between first trimester subchorionic hematomas and pregnancy loss in singleton pregnancies. And this is a retrospective cohort study of all singleton pregnancies presenting for care prior to 14 weeks over a three-year period at a single obstetric practice. And I think, again, I'm not trying to toot the Green Journal's horn, but Dr. Fox has been a member of the board in the past. He's done all this as a private practice clinician, if I'm recalling correctly, and he really has a tremendous dedication to furthering knowledge and trying to improve women's health care through things like this and through the journal club that he does. So I think it's proof that you don't have to be in the ivory tower to conduct good research and do a good job and then get things published.
Absolutely. Good point.
Yeah. So he reviewed all ultrasounds done between 6 weeks and 13 weeks and compared the rates of pregnancy loss prior to 20 weeks in women with and without a subchorionic hemorrhage. And what he found was that at the end of the day, after doing all of the statistical manipulation, that really the presence or absence of a subchorionic hemorrhage did not seem to be, at least in the early first trimester, did not seem to have an impact on the ultimate viability of the pregnancy. So reassuring news for women who have a subchorionic hemorrhage that's picked up on a very early ultrasound at that time.
Yeah, and this comes up. My primary clinical focus is in ultrasound, and this comes up all the time. Mm-hmm. And as they said, the incidence varies in the different studies from 0.5% to 40% of women in the first trimester, which tells you a little bit about the reliability of the diagnosis. But nonetheless, mm-hmm. the diagnosis can get made in as many as 40% of women, and certainly higher if she comes in with symptoms of vaginal bleeding. So this, I find this to be very reassuring data that it's not the presence of the hematoma, but more likely the fact that she's bleeding that drives the risks associated with the finding. Mm-hmm. When they controlled for vaginal bleeding in gestational age, there was no increased risk of pregnancy loss in these singletons. Mm-hmm. So it's you know, seeing the patient at 6 weeks where her a priori risk of miscarriage is still elevated relative to seeing someone at 9 weeks is important, and also the presence of bleeding. I will say in my own clinical practice, if I see one of these, I usually tell the patient about it, but only to warn her that she may have some dark brown discharge in the future next few days or weeks, and that she shouldn't worry about it or be surprised about it. So that a little bit of anticipatory guidance, because a lot of these just track out through the vagina, and it saves her the anxiety of going, oh my God, something terrible's happened. Also saves her provider probably an emergency work and an extra ultrasound and those sorts of things. So that's the way I use these, but I treat these subchorionic hematomas.
Yeah, the other additional little factoid I remember or I thought was interesting is the volume and diameter didn't seem to matter either. So it didn't, presence or not presence, even if it was there, the volume didn't matter. So it's kind of one of those incidental, what do we do with this? And then the vast majority of times they seem to be okay.
Right.